Well, our text this morning comes from the letter of 1 John, chapter 5, almost to the end. Lord willing, next week will be our last week in 1 John. 1 John, chapter 5. We'll be reading verses 1 through 12. Yeah. 1 John chapter 5, starting at verse 1. People of God, this is God's very word. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of a Son, of his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And there ends the reading of God's word this morning. So as we begin chapter 5, you can see the Apostle John starting to wrap things up, starting to wind down this letter, which we said in the beginning was really probably a sermon that he gave and that people in his church wrote down. And like I said earlier, next week, Lord willing, we finish 1 John. We finish what he's been teaching. But this morning, we have one more thing to get to. This morning, John adds one more trait to those who are in the family of God. It's one of those things that we remember that connect us. Though we all come from different earthly families, we're all connected to Jesus by one family. We all have these traits that connect us. When we look at one another, hopefully, Lord willing, we see these family traits. And you go, oh yeah, you're my brother. Oh yeah, you're my sister. This morning, this last new family trait that he'll show us is faith. Family trait of faith. See, faith is something that we know all Christians have. Right? If you have been born again, you have received faith from God. You get it at regeneration. Prior to that, you're just dead. No faith. See, no one's ever woken up in the morning, sat on the edge of their bed, and thought to themselves, you know what? I'm going to give myself faith today. That's not how it works. That's just silly, isn't it? The Apostle Paul told us that faith is a gift. See, it's not something that we produce on our own. See, we don't produce faith. Either you have faith or you don't, because it's been given to you. Now, you may have stronger faith than others. Or you may have a weaker faith than others, but you have faith, or you don't. Remember what it says in Scripture. We've heard this before. I do believe. Help my unbelief. See, there's faith there. And we strengthen it as this life goes on. And as if you saw the title of the sermon, you will see that faith is the first family trait of the children of God. Without faith, you can't even love God. Without faith, you will not be able to love brothers and sisters in Christ. See, without faith, you can't even be obedient to the Lord. If you're trying to do Christianity without faith, you're only obedient to yourself. You're only trying to do good for you. See, true obedience comes from true faith. And only true believers have this faith. That's what the Apostle John is telling us this morning. See, beloved, it's easy to profess that you have faith. But true faith, saving faith, is a faith you possess. A faith that transforms who you are. A faith that makes you more like Jesus. And that's the ultimate goal, isn't it, of our lives? See, John will also remind us this morning that we have overcome the world. And how do you overcome the world? Faith in Jesus Christ. See, as we see, everything this morning is focused on one person, Jesus. So we'll see this in 2 points this morning. The first point is the nature of faith, and I'll break that down into 3 mini points. Hopefully there are many this morning. The first one is the object of faith. The second one is the source of faith. And the third one is the effects of faith. Then our second main point this morning is the knowledge of faith. So we have the nature of faith and the knowledge of faith. Because, beloved, faith is the only family trait that we know we all have. And it's our faith in Jesus Christ what makes us overcome the world. And what John's been teaching us through this letter is we can't do it without him. And we shouldn't even try. So let's begin with the nature of faith, starting at verse 1, chapter 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. So the question this morning comes is, what is your faith in? That's a good question. So we don't want our faith in anything but Jesus Christ. You know, there's little things like, I'll put my faith in that chair that it will hold me when I sit in it. But the chair doesn't give me salvation. Christ does. See, if you believe that Jesus is just a moral teacher, or if he's a prophet, if you believe that Jesus is your life coach, or maybe he's your homeboy, that's not saving faith. Right? You don't have saving faith. You put your faith in the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That's true faith. See, the Son of God who came to die for his people, that's who you put your faith in. You know, last week in the evening, we talked about true faith in our catechetical teaching. We came across question and answer 21 in the Heidelberg Catechism. Right? True faith is not only a knowledge and conviction that everything God reveals in his word is true, it is also a deep-rooted assurance. So what do we see here? First thing, we need knowledge and conviction that everything God has revealed to us in his word is true. And that's what John has been showing us throughout this letter. See, Christian faith believes in the apostolic witness about Jesus. See, which is written for us in the scriptures. Remember, over and over, John said, listen to me because I was there. I saw him. I touched him. I remember that in the beginning of the letter. Because this church had a split, and people were saying, no. What John is saying, that's not the real Jesus. No. We know the real Jesus. John said, no, what are you talking about? You weren't even there. Listen to us. See, over and over again, John told them, and he tells us, listen to the apostolic witness, the true witness, to know who Jesus really is. Right, this apostolic witness preached that Jesus came in the flesh, that he did everything the Old Testament said he would. Right, the apostolic witness told us that Jesus was the Moses that came. He was like the lawgiver and the deliverer of God's people. Jesus was like the son of David. Right? He did miracles like Elijah. Right? He was the suffering servant that Isaiah told us about. See, more and more as the church went on, people in the church didn't like all those things about Jesus. But the apostolic witness says, no, that's the real Jesus. Jesus did suffer. Jesus was the lawgiver. Jesus did do miracles. See, the apostolic witness tells us that Jesus was born of Mary, meaning that he was really human. He did all these things. See, but that's not where the apostolic witness ends this morning. It also tells us that he rose again in fulfillment of the scriptures, that he ascended in a cloud, that he right now sits at the right hand of God. He rules and reigns right now. That's the real Jesus. That's the apostolic witness Jesus. Is your faith in that Jesus? Is he the object of your faith this morning? Or is it just the Jesus you've made up? See, I hope it's in this Jesus, the Jesus of Scripture, because this is where saving faith is found. And on a quick side note, last week after the service, someone asked me about all those who have never heard about Jesus. Right? Those who lived thousands of years before Jesus came. Those who are on an island in the South Pacific, and the gospel hasn't reached them yet. What do we do with them? That's a good question. What do we do with them? And I just want to touch on this briefly, because maybe you thought about this too last week. See, the Apostle Paul says in Romans that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, meaning everybody needs a Savior. Psalm 19 tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiworks. So all can see that there is a God, that he's creator, that he rules. So this teaches us that there's no innocent native, and all can know that there is a God. Paul tells us this, that the moral law of God is written on everyone's hearts. And if they haven't received the law of God that's in this book, well, Paul tells us that they're a law unto themselves. And then we find this in Isaiah 55. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. See, I believe that before Christ came, and the pagans where the gospel hasn't reached yet, they need to call on the Lord for salvation. And who says that they don't do that? Who says that they didn't do that? And how that works, I don't have an answer. Then we read a verse like Deuteronomy 29, 29 that says, the secret things belong to the Lord. But Scripture does tell us they need a call. And they need to know. So I hope that helps us a little bit to get our answer. Okay, now back to Christ as our object of faith. Because he is our object. But after our object, well, we need to know the source. Where does faith come from? Are we the source, or is something else or someone else the source? See, the normal evangelical answer is that we're the source of faith. That we hear the gospel call and then that we reach out. See, faith comes from within. See, now if you're a Disney princess, then of course faith comes from within. But we're not Disney princesses. We may act like it, but we're not. What does John tell us? Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. One pastor writes this, just as the birth of a child comes before the first smile, before the first word, before the first step, so spiritual birth comes before faith. See, in spiritual terms, it's death, then life. Right? A person is dead spiritually if they have no faith. He needs to be born of God, and then he receives faith. So who's the source of faith? God is. God is the gift giver. This is what the Apostle Paul tells the Ephesians. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, with which he loved us with. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. See, it is God who made us alive, not ourselves. So God is the source. So we have Christ as our object of faith, God as a source of faith. So who do you think brings about the effects of faith? The Holy Spirit. It's Trinitarian, isn't it? The Holy Spirit brings about the effects of faith. Let's pick up at verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. See, John is telling us here that if we have been made alive and we have faith, then we'll not only love the brothers and sisters in Christ, but we'll be obedient to God as well. See, some say that Christianity today is 1,000 miles wide, but only an inch deep. Because, see, Christians think there's the only effect of faith today is love. And they leave obedience behind. We don't need obedience. No, no, we love. They will say it's all about love. That's what Christianity is about. It's all about love. They will tell us that's what Jesus was all about. Jesus was all about love. See, I don't need to listen to the rest because I have Jesus. I don't even need to know the rest. I have Jesus. I want to be just like Jesus. I just want to love. But what did Jesus even tell us? If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Right? The Christian today is about all you need is love. Right? Love is all you need. That might be putting a light bulb in your head. You might have heard that before. Yeah, that wasn't the Bible. That's the Beatles. And if you're getting your theology from the Beatles, then your Christianity is not good. What does John say? That love and obedience go together. Two sides of the same coin. That is the effects of faith. Love and obedience. So you can say that you love all you want, but if you live like the world, you are showing us you don't love God. Read verse 2 again with me. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. See, we show our faith through love and obedience. How do we live a life of love and obedience if we don't have faith? Or if faith is in ourselves, if we're the object of it, if we're the source of it. Because if you're the source of your own faith, you're not going to want to love people who don't love you. You're only going to want to love yourself. And that's not true faith. Well, let's continue with verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. See, this is exactly what Jesus taught. Right? Remember, John was with Jesus. So when John starts teaching, he's just teaching what he heard, what he was told. This is what he heard right before Jesus ascended into heaven. He heard this from Matthew chapter 28. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go. Period. That's not what it says, is it? We don't need to close our Bibles right there because that's not where the sentence stops. Most people think that's all they have to do. If they love Jesus, that they have faith, they should just go. But that's not what it says. Let's continue reading. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. You know, there's one imperative in that sentence, one command, and it's not go. It's not even teach. It's make disciples. See, everything that Jesus taught comes around to that. How do you make disciples if you don't tell them what to do, if you don't give them the commands of Jesus? But don't get me wrong, love is important. We need to love. But if you only tell the disciples, go love, go love, go love, they miss the rest of what Jesus taught. Sometimes you think, well, everything else seems super hard. I don't want to do the other commandments. What does John tell us? The end of verse 3. And his commandments are not burdensome. Where do you think John picked that up from? Jesus. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus taught him this. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The commandments aren't hard. They're not burdensome. Beloved, if you live like this, and you love your brother and sister in Christ, and you obey the commandments, that is the Christian life. Those are the effects of faith. And if you have those things, you have the Holy Spirit, because he gives the effects, their power. John tells us in verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. See, only through a spirit-filled life can we have these effects. As we sit there this morning, and you think about your life, do we start seeing light bulbs pop off, or are we thinking, well, maybe, I don't know. Is Jesus the object of your faith? Do you know that you didn't make your own faith and God is the source? When you look around your life, are you loving the brothers and sisters in Christ and keeping his commandments? Right? If you see those three things, you know there's true faith there. And like I said earlier, we may not all see these bigger or stronger than others because we're all at different points in our walk. There's stronger faith and there's weaker faith. But if you start to see those working, you know you have faith. And you know you're a child of God because this is a family trait. Right? Remember what I said in the beginning, that you either have faith or you don't. Either you are saved and have true faith, or you're not saved and you don't have any faith. Ultimately, John asks the question this morning, do you know that you have eternal life? You might think that's an easy question to ask. But if you sat down and thought about it for a little bit, do you know that you have eternal life? See, John wants everyone hearing this to ask themselves this question. He wants you to be sure of that answer. That you have knowledge of faith. See, the only way we know this is we see the fruit. We see those family traits. Right? We start to believe the testimony that we read in this. We hear it preached. We're like, yes, yes. See, what John tells us in the next 10 verses, that there's a testimony that's out there. There's a witness. There's something that needs to be believed. In the next 10 verses, he says either witness, testimony, or testify, which all has the same root Greek word, 10 times, over and over again. He wants us to hear this. Let's start at verse 6. And he says this, "This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth." Right, these verses seem, you're like, Pastor Ogle, what is John talking about here? Water and blood? Right, at first glance, you're just like, oh boy, John's talking way over our heads this morning. But he wants us to know. He wants us to make this clear. And what he does is he starts with the Holy Spirit. He says, the Holy Spirit testifies about Jesus. And being the Holy Spirit is God, you should believe the testimony. This testimony can be taken as fact. You're like, okay, I believe that. The Holy Spirit's God. I should listen to what he says. But what's this water and blood that he's talking about? This is weird. Well, if we had more time, we can go through all the different ways that over time theologians have thought that water and blood, what they meant. While I was preparing for the sermon, there was pages and pages over time of what theologians thought. Well, it means this. No, it means this. No, it means this. Over and over again. Over the centuries. Almost up to the point where they were going to start arguing and fighting over this. What did it mean? Some theologians thought they're talking about the sacraments. Others said, we only see baptism here. Others said, no. This fulfills the law. Jesus fulfills the law with the water and the blood. Others saw, no. This is Jesus' birth and death. And over time, there's actually two views that gained traction. The first view was that this points only to Jesus' death, the blood and the water. Because John uses these same words in his gospel. If you remember, when Jesus is on the cross and the centurion spears Jesus in the chest, what does he say comes out? Water and blood. And they thought, oh, this has got to be what John's talking about. Says the same words. Now, if we only had this text for our context, we would say, he's got to be talking about it. But this isn't the only spot. Right? John isn't just talking about Jesus' death here in this letter. Right? John's talking about Jesus' ministry in this letter. So when we look at the blood in the water, most theologians land on that it's the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry at baptism and the end of Jesus' earthly ministry at his death. See, John brings this up, even though it sounds weird to our ears, because when he was writing this, people were fighting over what Jesus truly did when he was on earth. There was all these different beliefs. Jesus was a phantom. Jesus was a ghost. There was a guy named Jesus, and the Holy Spirit came upon him and then left him later. See, all these things were going, and John says, get out of here with all that stuff. None of that stuff's true. Listen to me, he says. The Holy Spirit testifies truth. Right? The Holy Spirit collaborates the testimony of the water and the blood. He's telling us this is where truth lies. And John finishes his argument from the lesser to the greater. Listen to this in verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. Did you catch that? He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. Who was the witness earlier? The Holy Spirit. He who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. See, if this were just men giving testimony, what John was fighting against, you could argue against it. But John says, no. The Holy Spirit gives this testimony of Jesus is, of what his ministry was. And if you're a Christian, if you have faith, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. That should blow our minds. Wait, what? The truth is within, right? You've been given that gift of faith. You don't just get to make stuff up and think, oh, this is what it says. No. The Holy Spirit tells us what it says. And I love how John finishes verse 11. He says, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Clear as day, isn't it? If you have the Son, if you have faith given by him, you have life, eternal life. When you die here, it just doesn't end. You get to go be with him forever. Remember what Jesus said, I go and build a house for you. And if I promise that, I'll come and take you there. Right, these verses, these end verses, it's eternal life. It draws the whole section together of knowledge of faith and nature of faith. This faith that overcomes the world. You have it. It's yours. If you're part of the family of God, it's the first family trait that you have. You can look around, brothers and sisters, and say, yep, I see it. I see it. And that's not to point fingers at them. It's to look inside yourself and think, am I a Christian? Well, let me see. Yeah. Faith, I see it. See, without faith, you're not able to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Without faith, you're not able to be obedient to Christ. Without faith, you're only doing this for yourself. And beloved, I hope and pray that that's not you this morning. I hope you're not doing it for yourself. I hope you don't think that this all relies on you, your faith relies on you. That pulling off to do all these commandments relies on you. That's not what John's telling us this morning. See, true obedience comes from true faith. The true love for brothers and sisters only comes from true faith. And this true faith was a gift from a heavenly Father who loves you. See, beloved, it's easy to profess this faith. But true saving faith is the faith you possess because your heavenly Father gave it to you. Hold on to it. Love it. Let us pray. Father God, this faith that you've given us, But look at what John says. It says, if we have it, we've overcome the world. Not we will overcome the world. No, we have overcome the world. Oh, Lord, help us to remember that. When we look at each other, these family traits of the Christian, the true Christian, help us to remember that faith is the first one. Because it's the one that points back to you. You're a good, loving God. You loved us so much you sent your son to die for us. You sent your son to the cross for us. And when he rose again and when he ascended to heaven, you didn't just leave us on our own, but you sent the Spirit to testify about these truths. And that truth lives in us. Oh, Lord, what a gift. Help us to remember these gifts you've given us. And look at you. Put our gaze on you. Because like you said, you alone are truth. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.